Good afternoon, everybody. Before I start, I just wanted to extend thanks for all of you for praying for my mom. I just thought I'd give you a quick update here. I talked with her this week, and she's been on some eye drops, and her condition is improving, but not at the pace that she would like. She has seen the doctor this past week to test to see if she is able to drive, and her sight does fall below that which is legally allowable for driving. So she's doing all right. She's progressing, but your continued prayers are appreciated. So I just wanted to thank you for that, and now I'll get started here. I'm going to mention a date, and the date is July 22nd, 2007. And I'm wondering if anybody knows what significance that date might hold. It was about 4 weeks ago, and it's not extremely notable in history. If you looked it up, you wouldn't find much in the news. If you are a math nerd, you might know that 22 divided by 7 is an approximation of the value of pi, but that's not what I'm talking about either. It also happens to be the day that I turned 31 years old. Also significant and interesting, but that isn't what I'm talking about either. That's not why it's important. July 22nd, 2007 is the day that I got my tetanus shot updated. And it's also, it happens to be the day that I came up with the topic that I'm going to talk about today. Here in Colorado, July 22nd was a beautiful day. It was warm, but not too hot. I had spent the day with my family lounging around the house, and later on in the afternoon playing in the park. On the way home from the park, I decided that I'd go for a bike ride for the rest of the afternoon. It would be perfect. Now, those of you who know me well know that I love to ride my bicycle. I consider it to be a real central part of my identity. However, over the course of several years, my bicycling has waned, and I don't do it as much as I used to. That doesn't stop me from thinking that I'm a great cyclist. but I know for a fact that I'm a bit out of shape. I can account for just about every single bike ride I get out on throughout the course of a year now. But on this particular day, I was pretty excited. It was, as I say, it was a nice day. And I was excited to go and celebrate my birthday with a bike ride. There's a road just north of Fort Collins called Wrist Canyon, and it's perfect. It's uphill most of the way, and I like to climb when I'm on my bike. And I can choose to go for any length of ride I want. If I want to go for a short ride, I can go for just 30 miles. If I wanted to go for a long ride, I can make it really long if I want. So I left it open-ended. I didn't know how far I'd get. But in this particular day, I was having a good ride. I was I'd just gone uphill for about 5 miles, and I decided that if I was to go any further, I'd probably regret it. So at that point, I turned around and started going downhill. And at this point, the ride was going to get really easy. I'd been out for maybe about an hour, and the rest of the way was downhill all the way. So I was pretty amped. Going uphill is fun, but going downhill is even more fun. And as I mentioned, I consider myself to be a good cyclist, but I am out of practice. And I was going into the corners a bit fast. I realized this, and it became very apparent as I swung out a little too wide on one of the turns, and I went out into the opposite lane of traffic, and safely, fortunately, there was not a vehicle in the other lane. And I said to myself, boy, I really went a little too fast around that corner. I should really take it easy and be more careful. So with that in mind, I approached the next corner a little too fast. I did not slow down, and I wound up doing the exact same thing, going into the corner. Taking the corner a little bit too wide, thinking to myself, boy, I really hope there's not a vehicle in the other lane. And sure enough, there's a big white Ford F-150 staring right at me. So I freaked out. I locked up my brakes on my bike, and I wound up skidding on the road. My tire popped at that point, and then I somewhere within the next moment or two, I fell down and slid into the ditch, missing the vehicle by a wide margin, which is good. I wasn't in tremendous danger, but my tire had popped, and I was pretty badly hurt. I stood up, and I realized that my knee had gashed pretty wide open. It was very deep. It wasn't quite down to the kneecap, but it was a really deep cut. My arm was scraped all the way up from my shoulder to my elbow, and I had no way of getting home. Fortunately, the person who I almost ran into stopped his truck to make sure that I was all right, and I walked over to him and asked him for a ride home. In shock, I realized that I was probably more hurt than I believed, and which was the case. So he drove me to the clinic, and I met my wife there. I got 5 stitches on the outside. There were even more on the inside of the knee. And they cleaned me up and sent me home. And they did update my tetanus shot. So on that particular day, I learned some lessons. Now, I have enough experience on a bike to know that I could have made that corner at the speed that I was going. But I also know that doing it right at that speed takes a lot more practice. I had realized that I was very careless. I was reckless, in fact. I exceeded my own limits. And I don't know exactly the point when it came to me, but it wasn't long after my crash. I do know that my knee was definitely still bleeding. But the question came to me. I asked, am I treating my relationship with God and my calling recklessly too? Am I taking my calling and the way of God's life for granted? I was really fortunate that my carelessness on the bicycle only cost me some stitches and a week and a half of bandages and limping. But the cost of being careless with God's way of life is much, much more costly. Throughout this message, I'm going to go back and forth between two different points, and one is the corollary of the other. The first point is that God rewards us if we carefully observe His commandments and ways. And the second is that there are serious consequences if we're careless in observing God's commandments. The underlying point is that we have a choice to make between the two approaches. Are you going to be careful in observing God's ways, or are you going to throw caution to the wind and live carelessly? There's a Hebrew word used throughout the Old Testament that's frequently translated as careful, and the word is shamar. It literally means observe, keep, take heed, and do. It's mentioned closely in relationship with observing God's laws and commandments. It has a connotation of taking care to do so. Another thing that's interesting is that it's frequently used in repetition. God knows that repetition is very effective in getting a point across, and He uses that method to let us know how important it is to observe His laws. And I'm going to cover its usage in a couple of important places in Deuteronomy. And the first example I have speaks about one of the rewards for carefully observing God's commandments. And I'll ask you to turn to Deuteronomy 6, and I'll read verses 1 through 9. So, starting in Deuteronomy 6, starting in verse 1. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all His statutes and His commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, in these three verses, the same word, shamar, is used 4 times. It is clear that God wants us to know how important it is to observe His commandments. If we are careful, we have a reward. It may be well with you. You will be multiplied. You will enter the promised land. But my favorite part follows this. I'll continue in verse 4, and then I'll explain why it's interesting to me. Verse 4 of Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord God, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit down in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Okay, we know that God wants us to be careful to observe his laws and commandments. But what does it actually mean to be careful to do that? If you're wondering what it means to be careful to observe God's laws, this helps give you an idea. This part tells us that we should put God's way of life at the root of our existence, and it should sustain us in every aspect. We're told to love God completely, put his ways into our hearts, teach this way of life to our children, talk about it, to think about it, to integrate it with the way that we work, binding it on our hand, and keep it at the forefront of our thoughts as the frontlets between our eyes. The point is short. We need to have God's commandments directing us at all times. There's no gap. There's no Christian mode that we turn on and off. It needs to be integrated completely. So that's the depth of care and observation that God wants us to have of his commandments. And God even provides us an incentive to do so. We will be blessed if we do observe his commandments carefully. Deuteronomy chapter 28 goes into some really intricate detail outlining both rewards for careful observance and the consequences for carelessness. So it covers both of the points that I mentioned. It turns out that this careful observance, the word shamar, is the pivot point between blessing and cursing. It is the object of the if clause. Now I'll ask you to turn to Deuteronomy 28, and I'll start in verse 1. Deuteronomy 28, starting in verse 1. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, if you to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. Okay, then if you do this, what do you get out of it? If we carefully observe God's commandments, what will be the reward? And I'll spare you reading the entire thing. I'm going to summarize for you. So I'll just run down a list. Blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Blessings will overtake you. I can't imagine anything better than that. Well, being in God's kingdom is something that might be better than that, I suppose. But that also is a blessing. Another thing that's mentioned is that you should be blessed in the city, blessed in the country. Your work will be blessed, and that's from verse 4. The food you make will be blessed, from verse 5. You will rise above your enemies, in verse 7. The people around you will see that God blesses you and will treat you with respect, from verse 10. You will be bountiful in what you produce, from verse 11. And again, it mentions how your work will be blessed. And I'll continue in verse 13. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. And again, this careful to observe is a repetition of that word shamar. Verse 14, so you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm totally convinced this seems like a pretty good deal. If we do what God says, we'll be blessed. But what's also interesting is the instruction to not go to the left or to the right. We need to stick to the plan, and that's where being careful comes into play. We can't be careless. We need to stick to the plan that God has provided to us, for us. And of course, there's a flip side. As I mentioned before, there's a second point, which are the consequences for being careless. I'll continue in verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully, again, that's the repetition of the word shamar, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. And I'll list these. They're even more numerous than the blessings mentioned above. And quite almost literally the opposite of what I mentioned. Cursed you'll be in the city, cursed in the country. Cursed will be your food. Your work will be cursed. Things that you tried to do will just go wrong. That's from verse 20. You'll be plagued. You'll be sick. You'll have difficult working conditions where circumstances beyond your control will work against you, from verses 23 and 24. You'll not prosper in your ways. You shall only be oppressed and plundered continually, and no one shall save you. That's from verse 29. Your family life will be unsettled. Your work will be for nothing. And the alien who is among you shall rise higher and higher above you, and you shall come down lower and lower. That's from verse 43. And it continues on through the rest of the chapter, and it's interesting to read. But I'll just conclude this Deuteronomy chapter 28 part with a reading verse 45. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you. And they shall be upon you for a sign and a wonder, and on your descendants forever. It's pretty clear that the consequences of being careless and observing God's commandments and way of life are pretty frightening. Now, the concept of diligence is very synonymous with the concept of being careful. And I'm going to skip ahead to the New Testament now. I'll ask you to turn to 2 Peter, and I'll start in chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. Starting in verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and bound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this is the real payoff for being careful and being diligent. We talked about the benefits in life just before when I covered the blessings, but we have a huge goal in mind, something even greater. The everlasting life in the kingdom of God is what we're promised if we're diligent, and that is exactly what we want. And we need to be careful to live our lives righteously so that we can gain entrance into the kingdom of God. Now, negligence is the opposite of diligence, and the Bible tells us the costs of acting in a negligent manner. And I'll ask you to turn to Hebrews chapter 2, and I'll start reading in verse 1, and I'll go through verse 3. Hebrews chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Therefore, we must give more earnest heed to the things we have heard of, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? Now, there's a couple things to note about this passage. The first is that we need to give heed and take care, or what happens? We drift away. And that's just the opposite of what we want. The second point is that disobedience receives judgment. Sin, God will punish sin. He has promised that to us. The third point gives us a little bit of hope, and it's this, that you cannot escape punishment if you're neglectful. And speaking on that point, if we don't work on carefully observing God's commandments, we will not escape the punishment that he promises for sinfulness. If we're careless, if we're negligent, we will be the ones to whom Christ says that he never knew at the time of judgment. We need to be careful. Now, after looking at these passages, we should be pretty motivated. God makes the best path obvious to us. He provides for us amazing rewards for carefully observing his commandments. He also notifies us of the tremendous cost of being careless. The choice is easy, right? Absolutely, it's easy. However, it doesn't take long in actually trying to live in observance of God's commandments to realize that the chasm between intention and action can be mind-boggling. And this is where being careful comes into play. Being careful requires time, it requires understanding, and it requires concentrated effort. Being careful is what bridges the gap between our intentions and our actions. We all want to observe God's commandments. However, are our efforts careful, or are they just careless attempts, shots in the dark? Our efforts really do need to be careful, and they need to be pervasive in our life. Now, with all this in mind, go ahead, go out and live, but be careful.